This is a Bit Seduce exclusive, the ultimate tracker for seduction and self-improvement, the number one resource for pickup artists.
StyleLife.com presents StyleLife Academy.
To your first StyleLife Academy teleseminar hosted by StyleLife.com. Your hosts today will be the man who earned the title of number one PUA 3 years running, Neil Schaus, a.k.a. Style, as well as the father of all things seduction and one of the men who taught Style the game, Paul Ross Jeffries. Ross Jeffries has been helping men pass their sticking points for over 15 years and has truly found his calling by helping men get the fulfilling results they want with women. Style and Ross Jeffries are both authors of several popular, well-regarded books published on the topic of women, relationships, dating, pickup, and seduction. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce your Style Life Academy headmaster, Neil Schaus, known to many of you simply as Style.
What's up, guys? So, welcome to your first Apprentice teleconference. I wanted to make this one really special and really memorable, so I asked kind of one of my good friends, one of my first teachers, the guy whose name I first heard before I even knew about the seduction community, to speak to you all. And I'm assuming most of you have read the book, The Game, so he doesn't need that much of an introduction, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, which is Ross Jeffries, to me, was just this amazing name that I remember reading about. And it was in an article in a newspaper over some kind of battle of seduction masters, and I went and I looked up both of their information, and I thought, well, Ross Jeffries, here is someone I can really learn from. And I kind of clipped that article and I saved it away. It wasn't until years later when I kind of learned about the seduction community that the name Ross Jeffries came up again, and again, it was just sort of in bright lights in my mind as a sort of super-powered being who could unlock the key that prevented me from living the life that I felt like I wanted to live and hopefully deserved to live and eventually got to live. And I'll never forget that my first encounters with Ross Jeffries were just with his voice when I got tapes of his Unstoppable Confidence series. I remember hearing that lying in my bed night after night listening to it and trying to, like, internalize every word he was saying, yet at the same time not to listen too close unless he was, like, in case he was laying, like, sneaky, hypnotic patterns on me that would make me want to buy his products or put him on my first conference call or something. They clearly worked, because here he is today. And the game stopped a couple years ago, and since then, Ross Jeffries has continued evolving, you know, as a person, as a teacher, his speed seduction method. He's now working whole new stuff with whole new business partners. He really is. He looks different. He acts different. It's really amazing, and I'm really pleased to have him here. And let me introduce you to Ross Jeffries.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. It's a pleasure to see the progress you've been making. And let me start the call off by congratulating everyone who's on this call for making the very smart decision to become part of your academy. I think it's your model of what you're doing in the interactive way that you're giving people an opportunity to learn from you in a structured lesson type of way where people get individualized and personalized help is, in my mind, already changing the seduction community. I think it's changing the way people receive the materials. And I think the days of people doing business strictly by selling products that are pre-recorded are pretty much numbered. And so I salute you on the business model. And anyone who's on the call listening, you've made a very brilliant decision to learn from and with Neil, not simply because he's a true master of this stuff, but the model in which he's doing it, I think is going to shake shake the seduction world right to its foundations. Gone are the days of squeeze pages and downloadable ebooks and that sort of stuff. I think people really want what you're offering, so I congratulate you. I know you've been working very hard on this for the past year. So good for you and good for the people on the call. And what I want to talk about tonight are some real, real deep revolutions and breakthroughs I've made in the whole field of inner game. I've been working on, you saw a piece of it at my seminar this past weekend.
Yeah.
I think you sat in for like 45 minutes.
Right, and I've heard some tape recordings of it as well.
Yeah, you heard a recording of an hour-long personal coaching session I did with somebody who went from being totally depressed because he got Let's Just Be Friended by a woman he was hanging out with for a year who he was in love with. And about 24 hours after the session with him, I did with him, he got a stripper into bed who happened to be hanging out by the pool in his condo complex. Took him 2 hours. He spent nothing. And he's been, pardon me, fucking his brains out ever since. So he went from utterly depressed, let's just be friends, to being with a very hot young lady. He actually sent me a message on my phone saying you're a miracle worker, and attached to the message was a picture of this woman flashing her boobs at the cell phone camera. So, you know, Neil,
I've seen that photo, and it's a lovely photo.
Yeah, it's a lovely photo, so it's a pretty big dramatic turnaround. The thing that I've been thinking about for the past 5 or 6 years is this, and I'm sure you know this as well. Some people would come to my seminar, some students go to an event, and they immediately get it. They can go right out and apply the material, maybe not exactly right, but they get pretty good results after just one seminar. And then there are guys who would come to my seminars year after year after year, you know, and they'd always sit, funny enough, they would always sit in the same place in the room, oddly enough, and they would say things to me like, hey, Ross, remember back in 1994 in your Advanced New Jersey Masters tape, side tape 4, side B, 20 minutes in, you said the following thing. And they would quote me word for word. And then I would say to them, let me ask you a question. Have you actually gone out in the field and used any of this? And I'd get an answer like this. Well, I anticipate sometime within the next 6 months, if projections go according to plan, then perhaps a contingency, you know, and the bottom line is they never used it. And it really bugged me, as someone who truly is devoted to guys getting the results, as are you, I began to ask myself the question, how do you take a guy in an emotionally difficult part of life? How do you take a guy who's not had a lot of success or successful reference experiences and get him out of his own way? How do you get a guy to stop gluing back the old emotions, the old limiting ways of seeing things, his old limiting beliefs? How do you get him to consistently strip that away so he can go up a pretty technical learning curve without the old ways of thinking getting in the way of the difficulty of the learning curve itself? I'm sure, and the really interesting thing is this, is here's something else I realized. If a guy is a complete failure with women, if he's just not getting anywhere, that's one kind of frustration. But at least he can just sit there and pretty much give up. When a guy starts to get enough skill that he's getting close to what he's wanted, when a guy, for example, can get into the set and make out with a girl, but he can never get her to call him back, or he's getting really close, that's when the frustration gets even worse. And many guys, if they don't have a way of disciplining their minds, when they get that close to what they want and they get totally frustrated, they could very easily go back to their old way of interpreting things and just say, you know what, fuck it, I'm a failure. And then it could take them weeks or even months to work themselves out of that depression and try again. And the other thing I've noticed, Neil, is that when guys get in that situation, if there's like 10 steps to doing a successful Sarge, if they're hitting, you know, 7 or 8 of them, many of them, if they get really close, will give up. And not only will they give up, but they actually hypnotically sort of hallucinate away every bit of skill that they have.
Right.
Everything they did right.
It's like turning back, like when you're like just next to the freeway exit of where you're going to.
Exactly right. And many of these guys get really close, and if it doesn't quite close the way they want it to, they will literally go, fuck it, what's the use? And they will literally not see everything they did right. I'll give you a story. I had a student about 2 years ago, and he used my stuff, and he went to a bar or a club, I don't remember which, and he walked up to the hottest girl there. She was someone who was blowing everyone off, and he was just feeling super confident. He was making out with her. And he decided, you know what, I'm going to get her number. So he got her number. And what he told me is he decided, I'm going to play it really cool. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wait a couple of days before I call her. Now, come to find out, when he went to call her, the number wasn't there on his desk where he thought he put it. So he rummaged through his desk drawers, couldn't find it, tossed his apartment upside down, couldn't find it. And he realized, uh-oh, it's trash night. So he went to the dumpster behind the apartment complex. And what he told me, and picture this as I'm saying it, he spent 90 minutes diving through the trash, discarded cat food cans and dirty diapers. And he said he came up out of the muck after 90 minutes, empty-handed, and he said, quote, my old self came back. And he said he'd been depressed for 6 weeks and couldn't even talk to a girl. Now, what I thought is, wait a minute, this guy did a lot of stuff right. he worked up his confidence. He moved into that place. He went right over the woman. He did everything right to get her into him. He made out with her. So he did a lot of stuff right. But during that 6 weeks where he was really down and really depressed, he forgot all about that. So I had to sort of like put him back on track. But one of the things I've found is it's that middle zone where guys are just starting to get a little bit of skill, a little bit, where things get really dicey and really difficult. And the other thing that I've sort of figured out is that there, I'm going to try and put this in a right way because it's kind of a technical point, but one of the things that I've figured out is that guys tend to constantly reinfect themselves with their limitations by the way they think to themselves and the way they talk about it. When I did my seminar this past weekend, I said, how many people here have a pretty consistent internal dialogue in their head about, oh, I can't do it with women, or why do I always fuck up? And or how many people here constantly think about the last girl who fucked them over or the last three or four girls who fucked them over, and you're running it in your head over and over trying to figure out what you did wrong? Every hand went up, virtually every hand. And these aren't dumb guys. These aren't guys who are incompetent. These are pretty smart guys. So one of the things I realized is guys are constantly running these scenarios in their head about how they screwed it up and what did they do wrong. And it's a really dangerous thing to do to yourself, because one of the rules of personal development and personal change is what you dwell on becomes what you rehearse, and what you rehearse is what your brain does. So if you're sitting there over and over and over again asking yourself questions like, why did I fuck it up with that girl? If you're constantly running that scenario in your head, then you're in effect rehearsing what you want your brain to do next. What you repeat over and over with vividness is essentially what you're telling your brain to do the next time. So you're constantly getting in your own way. And if guys don't have a really good strategy for learning from their mistakes, if they don't have an actual procedure that's taught to them, they're going to keep dwelling on them. When someone dwells on mistakes, there's a positive intent. In NLP, we say always look for the positive intent of the behavior. So when a guy is dwelling on his mistakes, he's not trying to hurt himself. He's doing it because he's trying to figure out what he could have done differently. The problem is the way he's going about it not only doesn't give him that information, it guarantees the problem behavior and the old ways of thinking and feeling are going to get reinforced. So that's the first problem. The way guys try to learn from their mistakes actually reinforces them.
Right.
The second problem is it creates a lot of noise in the line. I don't know if there are any engineers or related to that here on the call, but
I'm going to get there, by the way.
Yeah, I'll get there too. There are a lot of bright, technical-minded guys who are really looking to improve their game. If you're running that constant dialogue in your head over and over and over about why can't I get this girl, and you're constantly making images of failure, and you have a lot of bad emotion in your body, it constitutes a lot of noise in the circuit. And when you do go out and you try to learn the lesson, the information has to push its way through all that noise that you're generating in the system. In fact, I have a interesting theory, and I actually think it's true. From what I've been doing with people, I'm seeing more and more that it is true, that the experience of frustration that guys have with women when they're not doing this right or when they're trying to learn it, actually, it's only a little bit sexual frustration. That's on the surface. It's pretty clear. But beneath that, the experience of being frustrated, I think what it really is, it's the information, the lesson, trying to punch through the guy's own internal noise. It's like the internal noise, all the stories he tells himself about why he can't do it or it's so hard, and his reviewing all the old memories. It's like that is butting up against or pushing against the information that's trying to get through. And so the internal friction of the lesson that the guy wants to learn, the information that's sitting there waiting to be extracted from whatever experience he has, is having to push its way through all the internal noise that the guy is generating. And that is what produces the experience of suffering, of constantly ruminating on things and feeling just completely worn out. So that's the second thing. And the third thing I learned about it is, and this is something, you're really good at doing this.
Let me ask you something about
yes.
that, just out of curiosity.
Yes, yes.
So in other words, it sits there kind of stewing and brewing until you actually get the lesson, and then it can go away and be settled.
Right. But
it's
the problem
like,
is
like you have like a recurring dream, and the dream recurs because
yes,
you're not getting
yes.
the message.
The problem is, Neil, is that all that stewing and brewing creates noise, and it creates a lot of noise. So the information that is there takes a tremendous amount of effort to get through. It's sort of like if you were running through wet, if you, you know the tar pits, the La Brea tar pits?
Right.
It's sort of like trying to run as fast as you can so the tar doesn't suck you down.
Right.
So that information, the lesson, the mind is trying to find the lesson in all of this, but the problem is it's so noisy in there, the lesson either you can't find it or the lesson has to push through a lot of noise.
Right.
The third problem with having a lot of noise is if you're carrying that around with you in your head and you're out in the field, then it's going to be hard to notice when women are giving you the right responses. I know for a fact, at least with my students, that many of them have been in a situation where the woman really was attracted to them, but they were so in their own head they couldn't even see it. You ever see that in the field?
That's so true. When I play back those times when I was in, you know, college and after college, and I would go through a year or 2 years without even getting laid, the women were attracted to me. I just had so much noise.
You couldn't even see it.
I didn't self-doubt that I couldn't see it, exactly.
Yeah, you couldn't even see it. And you know, it's like, I don't use the term IOI, but let's step into it and use it. You know, they could be waving IOI signs that you could see from the space shuttle, but if you've got all that noise, or if you've got a limiting belief that says, I just can't do this, then you won't see it. What happens is a guy either doesn't see the signal, or he sees the signal and he doesn't know what to do with it, or he sees the signal and he knows what to do with it, but because of some internal emotional conflict, he still doesn't take the action. So there's a lot of opportunities and different ways to screw yourself up. Now, there's one more point, and this is a subtle one. And I know I've gotten the reputation for being kind of new age and out there and airy-fairy and all that other stuff, but I only teach those kind of tools like meditation and energy and vibe because I've found through experiment with my own students it works. It really does work to change people, and it also works to attract women. It's not just chick bait. I think there's a reality to it. Here's the final thing. I believe that there is such a thing as vibe. I believe vibe is quite real. I believe it's nonverbal. I believe that women can pick up the vibe before you even open your mouth. Whether they're aware of it consciously or not, it gets in. And I think a guy's vibe is not just a matter of, you know, body language or tonality. I think a guy's vibe goes much deeper. I think if you're running all these thoughts in your head, those thoughts sort of strike the body the way a gong strikes a bell, and the resulting wave or vibration that comes out, that's really your vibe. So in other words, if you imagine a stone dropping into a pond, the ripples that go out, that's the vibe. You can imagine your body, your actual physical body and your body's energetic field as being the water, and your habitual consistent thoughts, your internal dialogue, the stories you tell yourself about what kind of guy you are, that acts like the gong that strikes the body, and the result of those two things coming together is a vibe that you put out not only before you speak, Neil, it's going out while you're speaking, and in fact, it's like the conductive medium that you send your words across. So all that internal dialogue and your habitual thinking, if you have crappy stuff in there, then you've got to push your game through all of that vibe, and it becomes really hard. It's like pushing a pat of melted butter up a wildcat's ass. It just doesn't go in that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a multiple problem when guys are running this stuff. And I had to figure out there's actually 5-6 different components for getting guys out of this and actually giving them a really good strategy to learn, no matter what their past has been. And, you know, it's one of the things that drives me crazy is when guys are given advice, but they're not told how to carry it out. It's one thing to say to a guy, well, just learn from your mistakes, but no one gives them an actual procedure to do it. And if they could learn from their mistakes, they probably would have done it already. It drives me crazy. It's like saying to some person dying of thirst in the desert, well, why don't you go find some water? It pisses me off. Now, if there's one advantage you've always had is, in addition to being a brilliant guy, and you really are, I remember something I read in the game. I read this in the game, and it made a real impression on me. And I don't remember the exact details. You can clear it up for me. But you were telling a story about how you had two women back at their hotel room. I don't know if they were twins.
Right, the porcelain
sisters.
Twins, yeah.
They were porcelain twins, right.
Yeah.
And you had them in the bathtub or something, and the deal just didn't close. Even though you had these two beautiful girls back in the room, for whatever reason, you couldn't close the deal or didn't close the deal. You remember
right.
that?
Yeah, like yesterday, yeah.
And my question for you is, how long did you stay frustrated with that before you went back out in the field and started sergeing? Was it a week, 2 weeks, a month?
The next day I was out again.
The next day. And I'm telling you, that's why you became a success at it, because so many guys, I can guarantee you, would get that close and go, fuck it, Women are impossible. I don't know why I do this. Why the fuck didn't I do it right? I'm so fucking frustrated. And they would have been worked themselves into a frustrated frenzy like you wouldn't believe. So there's a lot of opportunities for guys to step off the path and get lost. Of course, when they can't get anywhere, they're frustrated. But here's the key. When you're getting so close, when you're really close to the level of skill you need to really start winning at the game, that's when you're going to get even more frustrated than you could even imagine if you're not trained. If you're disciplined and trained, you won't. But if you're not trained, what's going to happen is suddenly what you've always wanted for years, maybe even decades, is so close you can literally smell the lubrication, right? And you're going to get that close, but because you don't know all of the steps or you're missing a key skill, you're not going to get there. And then the frustration level will go through the roof.
Right. It's funny because I noticed that happened to a lot of people, and I always called it AFC reversion syndrome. It's like they snap back to who they used to be sometimes.
Well, and so what I've come up with are ways, and I don't like to use the term energy loosey because it's a sloppy term. I'm sure there's scientists and engineers on the call who could say, okay, Ross, well, if it's energy, where is it on the electromagnetic spectrum, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. All I know is I've had enough experience to prove to me that it's absolutely real. And I also know this, Neil, as far as noise in the mind, when you can quiet down that noise in your mind and just open your mind, you will pick up things about women that are absolutely extraordinary. Anything you need to seduce them. I have a belief that says before I even open my mouth, granted I'm in the right state of mind, if I'm in the right state of mind, then before I even open my mouth, women will give me everything I need, show me everything I need, and tell me everything I need. And this is another reason why to cut down this noise in your mind is not just so you can learn from your mistakes, but also so when you're out in the field, you'll pick up tremendous amount of information. I had the opportunity to hang out with you and your girlfriend at, where was that? The Grove.
Right.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
And do you remember she mentioned something about her ethnicity, and she certainly doesn't look like that ethnic group. You would agree?
Not at all.
And so I looked at her, right at her, and I named the tribe that she was from. Did I not?
Yeah, and it wasn't an obvious tribe.
No, absolutely not. There's no way. It wasn't even a common one at all.
Right.
And I don't know whether she thought that I told you, or I think she suspected it was some kind of trick that we had put her on.
She tends to be suspicious around me having read the game.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I mean,
I didn't even know that myself, actually.
No. So that ability to see, now, you can't stop there, but that's certainly your girlfriend is hot. I mean, dude, she's incredible.
Right.
And so saying something like that to her, it's certainly not going to get her into bed, but it would certainly get her attention as something that she's not used to hearing. And it would definitely, as the Poohs would say, be demonstrating value, maybe even too much because it's scary.
Right.
Correct?
But it's definitely demonstrating value. And as you would say, demonstrating authority over her world.
Demonstrating authority in her world. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why guys really need to clean up their emotional game and to have a really, really good strategy to learn from their mistakes. Now, let me point out a couple of things that guys try to do without this. If they don't have some way to manage that frustration and convert that frustration into raw energy for their peace of mind and their determination and their informed enthusiasm, there's a couple of different things that guys try to do. One of the things, other than giving up, a lot of guys just try to push through. They try to push through really hard through that pain period. And I think pushing through is certainly better than sitting on your ass. I would say to anyone listening to me right now, if your only options really were to just do nothing or to push through and push through and push through, by all means, push through. The problem with pushing through, again, is if you're carrying a lot of pain, a lot of frustration, a lot of distress into your sarging, women are going to pick up on it. Women can pick up vibe. Women can pick up energy. So even though you've got the best game steps down and rehearsed, if you go in there and you're carrying a lot of that bad emotional energy around, a couple of things are going to happen. The women who are attuned to that kind of stuff are going to avoid you. Or the women who are also really disturbed and troubled are going to be drawn to you. You know, so one thing guys try to do is they try to push through. The other thing guys try to do is they do positive programming. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in positive programming. I've got some great products for it. I think it can really work. The problem is when you do positive programming without correcting all that negative self-talk. If you don't have a good learning strategy and your mind is constantly dwelling on your mistakes and you don't know how to take a pretty vague experience that's hard to interpret and interpret it in a way that serves you, and I'll get to that in a minute, then what's going to happen is all your positive programming about being confident is going to be fighting all that constant self-talk that's so negative, and you're going to have like an internal civil war. And I think this is why so many guys find the process of personal change, whether it's their game with women or getting healthy or making money, they find the process of personal change exhausting, because literally there's two things fighting. There's your positive programming, which I do believe in, and there's also that constant, consistent negative dialogue and dwelling on mistakes, and those two wind up fighting each other. So I absolutely believe in positive programming, but only when you first learned a really good strategy for extracting your learnings from your past, so those memories are no longer running, and then extracting your learnings from your present so you can learn from every sergeant opportunity. And again, I think that's one of your geniuses, your ability to handle a situation, look at what happened without any ego, and then see what you could have done differently. Very few people. I think 1% of the population can naturally do that.
Yeah, I think I would do that all the time, and not only would I look at it, but then I'd go find out what I needed to do and figure it out for myself, or talk to people who'd been there and could tell me what to do so the next time I had that resource.
Well, where did you learn that? If I can turn around and interview you for a second, because as someone who does NLP, I want to look at someone who's got a great natural skill and ask, where the hell did you learn that? Because obviously you didn't learn it just doing the game. Where did you pick up your ability to look at an experience and not take it personally and learn what you needed to learn?
I never thought about that, but I'll throw out an idea that occurs to me right now, is that it could have been from like writing. In other words, the first articles I ever wrote in college, they were pretty horrible. If you looked at it, you wouldn't think this guy could become a writer. But then an editor gets on it, and sometimes the editor's comments were really harsh. But the editor would get on it, and they kind of tell you what to do, or they'd make changes, or they'd chew you out about something, and then you'd sort of internalize that, and next time you'd follow those rules. So every piece I wrote, I get some feedback from an editor, and then I'd use that feedback and make each one better. So maybe that was where I learned the process.
Well, I salute you for it. It's a pretty extraordinary skill to have, and I think it was the key to your getting this. I'm telling you, you go ahead.
I was going to say, but it's so much a part of me of always thinking, you know, where did I go wrong? What could I have done better? That I'm just writing right now a story about this. I had a threesome one night while I was doing this, and I thought in my head that it could have been a fivesome, and I'm playing up steps in my head that would actually make that a fivesome.
Well, see, and that is a key skill that is missing in the community.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
This is exclusive.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Let me just say this. Gone are the days where I think there's one person you can go study and learn everything from, including speed seduction. What I've learned is my best students, generally speaking, have stuff from a lot of people. And so the thing I would say is, no matter whose system you're using, that challenge of being able to manage your learning, manage your emotions, and just extract every bit of useful information and take any leftover frustrated emotion and transmute it into pure power for your peace of mind, your determination, your what I call informed enthusiasm. It's a freaking key skill that you need no matter whose material you're using. And what I've done is, it's taken me 6 years to finally put all the missing pieces together, the most recent one in the last 6 months from a meditation teacher. And I hope guys don't shy away from that term, meditation. I'm only teaching what I've seen over and over again actually works to quiet down the noise in the mind. But the smart thing guys can do, in addition to what I'm going to teach or begin to teach tonight, because it's a couple of day long lecture, is also do what they're doing right now, which is to have coaching, ongoing interactive coaching with people who know what they're doing. So again, it's a smart learning strategy. If you join the academy, you're smart mofos, and I totally salute you. So I guess that's the introduction to it. We can get into the meat of what I'm actually teaching, if you'd like to.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
And
well, the first thing
afterward, guys, we'll open this up for a couple questions at this time.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, let me do something. I've sort of been remiss, and I want to apologize to the people on the call for it. My plan was to put up a link on my website where guys could go and listen to this one-hour coaching session that I did with a guy that turned him from being very deeply depressed. It's funny. I warned this guy. I've known him for a while. And he was telling me for a year how much he dug this girl. I said, dude, have you fucked her? He said, no. I said, have you made out with her? He said, no. But, you know, we hug, and she tells me how much she cares for me. And I said, dude, you're going to get crushed. And so this went on for like a year, and she told him she was moving. She was leaving town. So I said, you got to make your move. Well, you're going to cringe when you hear this. You know what he did? He told her that he loved her. Now, I don't know where guys get this idea that if you just reveal your feelings for a woman, suddenly her feelings will magically transform. Excuse me.
They will transform into avoidance.
Into avoidance or disgust. And she said, she didn't say, let's just be friends. What she actually said is, I feel the feelings I have for you are a sister for a brother. And my response would have been, well, let's go to Alabama and get it on. But he was crushed.
Yeah,
he called me that.
It's like LJBS, let's just be siblings.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Did you just come up with that? That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. Let's just be siblings. Daddy, stop it. You're crushing my cigarettes. Get off me. Let's just be offspring. But anyway, he was completely crushed. And I said, you know, get over here. And we went out for coffee, and I worked with him right there in a restaurant. I have it all on digital audio. I was going to put up a link where your guys could listen to it, but I've been exhausted and haven't gotten to my webmaster. But what I will do, you know, just a couple of times through the call, because I really don't want to make it a commercial. I'm going to deliver value even more so right here on the call. I will put up that link so they can listen to the thing for free. And what I'm going to do is invite people at the end of the call to go to my website and sign up for my email newsletter. And I will put out an issue by the end of the week telling them what the link is so they can hear it.
Cool.
But anyway,
I'd encourage you all to go to the site and sign up the newsletter as well. And when there's a link as well, I will also let you guys all know on your welcome pages also.
Thank you.
I
appreciate that. And by the way, the new website is speedseduction.biz. It's no longer seduction.com, it's speedseduction.biz, B-I-Z. And so this whole site is new. Okay, there are five, I've isolated out five elements where I can take a guy, I don't care whether he's someone who's done really well and he just wants to learn some stuff that's been out of his reach, or he's a guy in that mid-range. I think a lot of guys who come to us, Neil, and who come to the community have had a girlfriend or two. I mean, like when you were in college, you had a girlfriend or two. You weren't completely without sex all through college, were you?
I had like one girlfriend who was like a townie I had met.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of guys are in that middle zone where they're just getting out of divorce, or they're dating someone who's maybe a seven, and they're just sticking around because they're waiting for the ability, they're waiting for something better to come along. I don't care whether you're someone who's done really well and just wants to get an edge, or you're someone who's in that middle zone, or you're someone who just has never gotten anywhere. This is the shit that will get you back up the learning curve and guarantee you don't slide down. So let me give you the five elements. There are five of them. The first sub-skill or portion or discipline that guys need to have is some practice to quiet the noise in their mind. And let me give a metaphor. I used this metaphor when I guest spoke at one of your seminars, and thank you for that opportunity again. It was great fun.
Yeah.
The metaphor I'll give you is there was a famous Greek philosopher and scientist by the name of Archimedes. I don't know if you know what Archimedes – well, you heard the speech, so you know. But Archimedes was the guy who said Eureka. He was in the bathtub, and he discovered the principle of the principle of displacement, where the reason why objects float is they displace the same volume of water that they themselves take up. So anyway, he was playing with himself in the bathtub, and he came up with Eureka. But he was famous for one other thing that's very germane, very useful, very relevant to this call. And what he came up with is the idea of the lever. We all know what a lever is. A lever enables you to take an object that would be by the way, my cats are having a fight right now. They're like, they're amogging each other. Kitties, go away. Stop it. They're having a fight because I'm not giving them attention. Archimedes came up with the idea of the lever. And we all know what a lever does. It allows you to take something that would be far too heavy to move or pick up with your own unaided strength. And it gives you tremendous, well, leverage. So you can move something that you normally could not pick up unassisted. Archimedes said this. He said, give me a lever and a place upon, give me a big enough lever and a place upon which to stand, and I'll move the earth. So when it comes to the game, doing well with women, sarging, you could view the external tools, how to open a set, you know, Kino escalation. If you're using speed seduction, how to use your language to get her dripping hot and ready in like 20 minutes, whatever. That's the lever. But the place upon which to stand are the tools for working your inner game and your confidence and your learning strategy. So the first part of that place upon which to stand is a disciplined or technology or practice to quiet your mind. Again and again, what I've learned is the habitual thoughts that guys have not only guarantee they'll keep making the same mistake, but overall it pollutes. God, I'm going to sound like an egghead here. It pollutes the ecology of their mind. It's like putting drops of poop into a glass of champagne. It's going to turn the whole water brown. And what I have learned in working with a lot of students is they really need a way to quiet that internal chatter. They deeply need it. And it's got to be something that they do regularly. It's not something they do once a week. I believe that the whole idea that you go and you have some great healing experience is mostly bullshit. It's a lie. People need an ongoing practice, particularly if they've got a bad habit of mind that has not served them. They need a daily practice. So first and foremost, guys, get rid of the idea that it's going to be one experience and then you're fixed. No doubt about it. I can do some amazing change work. I've done amazing change work that set guys in a pretty strong direction. I'm sure you've seen some of it, Neil, either in person or on one of my video sets. But guys, overall, they need a practice. So the first thing I teach guys is a very simple beginner's breath meditation. And you know what I'm going to do for real? I'll get into it just a little bit, but what I will do is also create a report on the beginner's breath meditation. And so everyone here listening to the call can get it for free, because I want people to get this. But essentially, there are a lot of ways you can learn to meditate. You can get a book on it. You can go to a teacher. All you need is a way to tune into your breath and tune into the blank space between your inhale and your exhale. So if ever on the call, I know this sounds new age, and forgive me, but Neil has seen this shit work. So Neil will take Neil's endorsement before you turn your head and cough at this. So if you just take a deep breath and inhale, and before you exhale, just pause. Just hold the breath for a second and exhale. And before you inhale again, pause again. And the real simple practice I give guys is just to do the inhale and the exhale, but to pause. To pause at the end of the exhale and pause at the end of the inhale. And in that little moment, experience a little bit of quiet. If you'll do this for like 10, 15 minutes a day for about, I don't know, 10 days to 2 weeks, what's going to start happening are the following benefits. I can guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee you the following benefits. Number one, the habitual noise in your mind will start to quiet down tremendously. Number two, when you're out in the field, your intuition and your ability to actually observe what's really going on in that set that you're going to approach will go through the roof. And can I give you a concrete, specific example of this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. And again, this is a point I wanted to make. There's a very important point. Oftentimes in this game, when you're first learning, you will get results that are hard to interpret. You will not be able to interpret whether it's a total success or it's a total failure, and you're going to be scratching your head trying to figure out what you did. Oftentimes, I think the biggest problem is not just frustration, it's confusion. Guys really don't know what they did incorrectly. They just can't see it. So when you do this meditation practice, what's going to happen is not only will you get quieter out in the field, but your ability to see what you did incorrectly or figure out what's actually going on will really go up. But let me give you an example of being quiet so you can see what's really going on. I was at the Roosevelt Hotel about a month ago with some students who were there from out of town. And the Roosevelt Hotel, if you haven't been there to Sarge, it's in Hollywood. It's a fantastic venue. Unbelievable, packed with women. So there were six or seven women sitting by one of the open fireplaces out there by the pool. And two of the students came up to me and said, "Hey, Ross, we'd like to Sarge these women, but they have their bitch shields up." Now, I looked at these women, Neil, and what I saw are women who were laughing uproariously, having the best fucking time. I didn't observe that they had any shields at all. What
exactly.
I observed is they were so into talking to each other, they weren't turned outward looking at the crowd. They were turned inward in their circle, but it wasn't a circle of bitchiness. It was a circle of fun. I didn't see anyone being bitchy at all. In fact, what I observed is that one of them was wearing a bridal veil. So I thought, okay, this is a fucking bachelorette party. It's a fucking green light. So I looked and I went, okay, what's the overall energy of that set? All right, I'll just match their energy. They're joyous. They're fun. I went up. I went, I heard someone's getting married. And I said, who's the lucky girl? And they pointed her out. And I said, well, I'm your male exotic dancer, you know. And so I said, no, not really, but I just wanted to come up and congratulate you and to tell you marriage can be a good thing. And, of course, one of them looked at me and said, are you married? And I said, well, I was, but my wife died. And they said, oh, we're so sorry. I said, yeah, we were on safari and she was trampled by a giraffe. And they all cracked up laughing. Anyway, here's what it turned out they were doing. They were playing a game called Three Questions, where you had to answer, you had to name three women you wanted to fuck and three guys you wanted to fuck, and they had to be famous. And they were, at that point, going around talking about three women they wanted to fuck. That's the reason why they were so absorbed with each other. They were laughing and having fun. Now, because my students were looking through that noise in their mind, the preconceived notion that said, if women are not turned outward looking at everyone, they're being bitches, they didn't see what was right under their noses, and they missed the opportunity. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even believe in bitches or bitch shields. That just
no,
means,
I don't
that,
either.
That
but
means I don't have the skills to approach. That's what it means.
Yeah, well, or it just means you can't observe what's really going on.
Exactly.
And so because their mind was so loaded with noise, they couldn't even get quiet enough to see what the fuck is going on. I just got really quiet and said, what's actually happening here? So a meditation practice will allow you to do that. And the simple practice that I give my guys to do is really simple. You don't have to chant. You don't have to light incense. You don't have to say prayers to some wicked satanic god, although that's kind of fun to do. All you have to do is sit quietly for like 10 to 15 minutes, inhale, and before you exhale, pause and observe that little bit of silence in between the inhale and the exhale. And again, in between the exhale and the inhale. It sounds like it's too simple, but if you do that 10, 15 minutes a day, you'll start having a quiet mind. That's the first piece. But it's an important piece, and many people will ignore it because it's not glamorous or glorious. One of the things, and this is something I know you will agree with, one of the problems with guys getting the skill set, Neil, is they're looking for that big, one glorious home run victory that will somehow catapult them into Super Sargi skill. And you and I both know it doesn't work that way, does it?
If it works, it's a temporary high.
It's a temporary high. To really get good at this, you have to be consistent. You just do. So that's the first thing they have to do. The second thing they need to have some really good beliefs about learning and about what's possible. What I have found in to get good at anything, and especially with the game, you need a few elements that have to all be there. One of the elements, of course, is you have to know what works in the field. You have to be able to do things right in the field. You have to have a good map about how women work. If, for example, if your map is mistaken, if you have mistaken beliefs about what really moves women, and I'm sure it was a shock to you, I'm not being sarcastic. Let me ask you, when you first got into the game and started getting really good at it, I mean really good at it, did you go through a period where you were kind of disappointed with the way women really were as opposed to your romantic view of them before you got good at this?
Oh, man, for sure.
I mean,
for sure.
I'm serious. I remember
writing a post about it being like, man, this just confirmed some of my worst fears and expectations. And, yeah, I remember there were some points where I really was disappointed by that.
Yeah, and I think that's a skill set. That's a level that shows guys are really getting good at. But as you well know, for example, if your belief is that women only will have sex if they're in a committed relationship or they want to be in love first, you and I both know it's bullshit and you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. And in fact, you may drive women away by being too romantic and huggy-kissy when in fact they just want to fuck you. True or false? Big T. Big T for true, yes?
I'm going to go with the big T.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the big T. So if you've got to have to get good at anything, you have to have a good map. You have to have a map of what works that matches what really works. But in addition to having the good map and the beliefs about what works, you have to have good beliefs about learning. So one of the things I do with my students is give them some explicit beliefs about learning that I also show them how to take these beliefs and make them more than just an understanding, how to wire them into their body and their brain. But let me just give you some of those beliefs, and they're really, really important. And I just want to also address an objection. I can hear a couple of brains sizzling on the line right now saying, look, this is bullshit. Be a man. Don't be a pussy. You don't need beliefs. You don't need meditation. You don't need energy. Just fucking go out there and fucking do it. And all I can tell you is, if you want to push through that way, good luck. But I happen to know that beliefs are very powerful. By themselves, they won't guarantee success. They really won't. You have to fucking get out there and do the field work. But if you can make the field work easier, why not do it? That's not being a pussy. That's just being smart. So here are the beliefs. One of the beliefs that I teach guys, and this is time and again, I have seen incorporating this belief, really getting it and using it and looking at your challenges through the belief, has turned so many guys around. And here it is. I'm going to give it to you, and we can talk about it, and then I'll give it to you again word for word. And that belief is anything seemingly or even actually painful that comes up is only coming up to be handled, healed, learned from, transformed, transmuted, refined into pure energy for my learning, for my peace of mind, for my determination, for my informed enthusiasm, and for my vision of the man I'm already becoming every day. Now, that's a big fucking mouthful, but the fact of the matter is, when you look at the first part of that statement, that anything seemingly or even actually painful that comes up is only coming up to be handled, healed, learned from, transmuted, refined into information and energy, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing that most guys don't realize, and I've learned this through doing some, this was pointed out to me by doing some work with someone about 2 years ago. She didn't give me a solution to the problem. She pointed out the problem. And here it is. When you've been stuck for a long time and you make an effort to change, all of your limiting patterns of thinking, all your old emotions are going to come right to the surface. They're going to come to the surface and they're going to scream out louder than they ever have because those kind of pathways are very fixed and they just don't want to go away. So I can guarantee, guys, if you've been in the situation where you finally really started to push and really made a determined effort that you're going to change this stuff, and you find a lot of stuff is coming up even louder, that's to be expected. You should be pre-warned about that. That usually, if not often, happens, that all your stuff, when you want to change anything, is going to come up. Now, we could get into the reasons why, but that's pretty useless. And I don't know if you've seen this happen, Neil, when people are really, really finally take some bold steps to actually change, that's when their limitations flare up in their face. And if you're not prepared for it, that's where a lot of good people give up. Have you seen that happen?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time. And it's not just in the game. In fact, I would encourage guys on the line to take a step back. Let's take a step back and take this outside of the realm of the game and put a much broader frame around it. Let's put the frame around it of making an improvement, making a change in life, and stepping away from patterns of thinking, feeling, behaving, acting, and responding that just don't serve you. Take it out of the context of the game and put a broader context around it. Define it as, okay, we really want to deeply change how we think, how we act, how we feel, how we learn, how we behave. And if you put a broader frame around it like that, then you can see that this point that when you really devote yourself to change and you take those first bold steps, the old ways of thinking are really going to flare up for whatever reason. So you need a way to handle that. You need a way to handle those flare-ups. Now, I had some work done with me with someone who was training with me for a while, a very, very talented woman, and she warned me about that, but she didn't tell me how to handle it. Her answer was, just sit with it. Not a good answer, as much as I respect her. So that belief that says anything seemingly or even actually painful that comes up is simply recognizing the reality that that's going to happen for a lot of people when they really devote themselves to change. Like when you start on that diet, that's when the potato chips start to really look good. You understand what I mean? to use that principle. So it's the same with changing anything. So this belief sort of inoculates you against that. It says, yeah, that's going to happen, and when it does, here's what to do with it. So that's why that belief is so powerful and so important. By the way, let me just say one thing, and I'm not going to overpromote myself. For those of you who are just joining the call, do go to my website. It's speedseduction.biz, and you'll see that annoying fucking pop-up window, but it's the only way to really work things. And sign up for the newsletter, and I'm going to do an issue on this whole thing, and you'll like what we get. And you, Neil, you call me on it, man. I want to make sure that this call is not about primarily promoting me, but by delivering value to your academy guys. So if I overpromote, smack my fucking ass and say, knock it off, okay?
I think everybody on this call, you know, knows you exist. They all know your okay. They all know your website, and they'd be silly if they hadn't signed up. And
okay.
I'm happy and grateful to you doing this, and also to you allowing this to be shared. You know,
with
all the guys who could make the call. So, you know,
it's my pleasure. Listen, go ahead. No, you
and I think, and I might as well just say this. I'll say this to you, but let everyone hear it too. That you know, in the book, The Game, there was this very competitive attitude toward everyone. And I think people are starting to realize that everyone just wants to learn, and they're going to learn the best if people aren't competing with each other, but have an open, you know, attitude about this.
No, absolutely, and you know, this is something I can't get into details, but let's just say the way I was doing things because of who I was doing them with, I couldn't be cooperative. It was not allowed for me to do it. But now that I'm a free agent, my view of things has actually been for a while that anyone who's genuinely out there devoted to helping guys has my seal of approval, as long as they're not ripping me off and using my stuff word for word. Seriously, guys need every bit of help they can get. And again, my best clients, we've talked about this, the best clients and best, frankly, customers have a collector's mentality. So gone are the days where I think anyone could say they have all the answers, and certainly gone are the days when I say I have all the answers, because obviously I don't. I mean, there's a lot to learn from everyone. But anyway, be that as it may, this area I've got nailed down on like so I have. So that belief about, you know, anything that comes up seemingly or even actually painful is only coming up to be handled, healed, learned from, released, transmuted, transformed into pure energy and pure learning for my peace of mind, blah, 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 blah. That belief is incredibly valuable. I can't tell you how many times that I myself, in other areas of life, not related to this one, I've drawn on that to keep going under the worst circumstances. In effect, that belief takes your mind and it sets it in a certain direction. That belief guarantees that no matter what happens, no matter how bad you're feeling, no matter how confused you get, and I believe, just as a side note, I believe that confusion is the number one most painful aspect that drives guys into get into the game. I don't believe it's sexual frustration. I believe that's a huge piece, but I think the far bigger piece, particularly for the very bright guys who are on this call, who tend to be your customers, your students, and mine, for those guys, it's the sheer confusion of not being able to figure out what the fuck happened.
I mean, that was probably what drove me here, was seeing these... not trying to understand what do the girls see in these guys and not in me. I just don't get it. No one's been able to give me an answer.
I've had the opportunity to learn with the greatest teacher I've met, and I've been into self-improvement since I was 15. I'm 48 now, so that's 33 years. I've studied with Richard Bandler, who created NLP, and so many different people. By far, the greatest teacher I've ever met is my meditation teacher, Shinzen Young. And Shinzen teaches something brilliant about the experience of suffering. And what he says is when you have all these various different things going on, if you're frustrated and you're confused and you're angry, all those different states don't just add up, they multiply. So if you've got 10 points of confusion and 10 points of sexual frustration and 10 points of depression, they actually multiply. So you got 10 times 10 times 10. You've got 1,000 points of suffering. And this is the other thing I teach guys. I teach something called untangling, which is to take all those elements that are tangling you up, separate them out, and experience them individually. And what happens is it's no longer 10 times 10 times 10, 1,000. It's 10 plus 10 plus 10. It's 30. And in any case, the really big thing that fucks guys up is not fear. It's not approach anxiety. I really mean this. It's not approach anxiety. It's not fear. It's not even not knowing what to do. It's the confusion that surrounds it. Because with confusion, you can't figure out the problem. You've got to remove the confusion before you can figure it out. So that belief inoculates against so much of that stuff, and it enables guys to keep going under the worst possible setbacks. They get right back, and I've seen it. I've seen this with my own students who've been stuck for years. I teach them this stuff, and they'll just start ripping it up. Now, they may not get it right, but the difference is they're out in the field like every day now, and no matter what happens, they absorb it within like minutes and go right back to where they need to be going. So it's That's one very powerful belief. A second one, and I can't go through all of them, nor can I go through on this call, how to turn them from ideas to things that actually change your thinking and your behavior. But another one that I want to share, because it's very useful, and it's a little bit simpler than the first one, but another one I want to share is very simple, and it says this: when I don't know what to do, I take a bold step forward. When I don't know what to do, I take a bold step forward. Now, this is the opposite of what the AFC does. If the AFC doesn't know what to do, his default response, his automatic response, is not only take a step back, it's to turn around and run away and wonder what he could have done. But if you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, and your default belief is, you know what, when I don't know what to do, I take a bold step forward. In fact, when I don't know what to do, I take the boldest step forward. That's even better. That's a modification I've been teaching lately.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Think about you guys on the call. Think about this. Think about a stuck point you have or a recent situation where you just didn't know what to do, so you either did nothing or you backed off. If instead you had something in your mind that automatically took you in this direction, when I don't know what to do, I take a bold step forward. In fact, I take the boldest step forward. Just put that belief in your head for a second. Sort of imagine it's like a virus that sort of hacks its way into your mainframe and starts to replicate itself through all your application programs because it's now running your system software. What would you have done differently? You know what's funny, Neil, is you've gotten really good at coaching people, and I know you've heard this one. Well, I just can't seem to get a girl's phone number. When I get the phone number, half of them are fake.
Right.
Or have you heard that one?
Oh, yes, often.
You know what I do with guys? I used to coach them on what to do. Now I say this. I absolutely forbid you from ever asking for a phone number. From now on, you will not ask for a phone number from any woman unless you've made out with her for at least 20 minutes and it's a really good makeout. Then and only then will you even be allowed to think of getting a phone number. And at first, they're fucking shocked. Like, what, but? And I tell them, look, when you don't know what to do, your next step is going to be a bold step forward. In fact, it's going to be the boldest possible step. And what happens is guys get so locked into their limited frame that they're so locked into asking, well, how should I get a phone number? Or how can I get more numbers that aren't fake? They don't even stop to think, wait a minute, what would be something far more bold than getting a phone number that could break me out of the whole limiting frame? So the usefulness of this belief, as I think anyone who's really getting it can now see, is it takes an area where you may be stuck and not even know you're stuck, and it unsticks you really strongly.
Here's an interesting one. I don't know if it ties in, but when I was learning the stuff, I had one of those kind of epiphany moments where I realized that I was thinking of everything forward. Can I get a phone number? Yes. If I get a phone number, can I get a makeout? Yes. If I get a makeout, can I take her home? And I would kind of think forward, and something switched in my game once I started thinking backward. In other words, I'd first think, can I have sex with her right here, right now? No. Backward. Okay, can I get her home right now? No. And then I started thinking backward so that anything I started thinking in terms of the greatest possibility possible, then thinking backward into what was possible.
Now, let me tell you something as an expert on modeling skill. That distinction, that way of thinking, Neil, is the difference. That way of thinking is one of the reasons why your style, the greatest Jedi on the planet, I'm serious. I really mean it. That is far more powerful than the evolution phase shift or the massage thing that gets women making out and fucking each other. Those things are all great. They're brilliant. I salute you. I've stolen some of them. They work. I have. But that's just copying. It's those frames of mind, your ability to learn from your mistakes and not have an ego about it, and what you just said, thinking backwards. You know, okay, how did you describe it? What was your exact label for it?
Thinking in terms of the greatest, widest possibility
right.
first, and then working backward until I see what the limit
right.
is.
So if I can't fuck her right now, can I fuck her somewhere within 5 minutes? If I
right.
can't fuck her within, yeah. See, that way of thinking is that kind of thinking. I'm telling you, had you not had that in place, you never would have gotten as far as you did. At best, you would have maybe been able to imitate mystery to a certain point. But that way of thinking, if I were a smart guy, I would go back and read the game, and I would only look for those parts where you reveal how you thought about things. And the rest of it, I wouldn't put as much emphasis on it. I would still look at it. But if you want to get good at someone, get good at something that someone else is really good at, you've got to learn to think about the situation the way they think about it. You've got to learn to manage and handle your thinking and your beliefs and the way you process your sense of possibility, in addition to just imitating the behavior. See, if people just imitate your behavior, Neil, and imitate your map of how things work out in the field, they're going to, don't get me wrong, they're going to do way better than their old way of doing things.
Right.
And they will. But if they really want to hit it out of the ballpark, they have to learn to model how you think about your sense of possibility and how you think about your learning. And on some level, whether you're aware of it or not, these beliefs or something very close to them are operating, I would guess, on the unconscious level. But they're there, or you wouldn't have been able to come up with that kind of stuff. And that exactly is the kind of thing that proves my point. Your ability to think differently is really largely your ability to redirect your mind, to take your mind off of the old ways of thinking and expand it to the best possible set of possibilities. And so what I'm doing is giving guys the kind of questions they can ask themselves, the kind of beliefs they can put in there, so they wind up thinking the way you think, not just imitating what you do and having your external understandings about how women work, which, don't get me wrong, they're crucial. You've got to have it. But if you really want to take big leaps, you've got to learn to pay attention to the things the expert pays attention to, but you also have to learn how to ignore the things that the expert ignores. This is another skill set that you have that ties into what I'm teaching tonight. One of the things you know how to do is to selectively ignore things that other guys are fixated on. This is another key skill, and I don't hear anyone teaching this. I will hear people teaching, well, do what this guy does and pay attention to what he pays attention to. But you have another skill. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, you know, but you know how to ignore the right thing. You know how to ignore things that other guys would pay attention to that would get in their way.
Right.
Should I give you an example of that?
Sure, sure.
Well, for example, one of the things I know you know how to do is if you're seeing a shit-hot babe, if you see 210 sitting at the bar, you are going to very quickly ignore how hot they are. You're going to very quickly ignore or choose to isolate away your body's sexual response to how hot they are.
Right.
You know how to do that. You may get it at first, and from time to time, it may periodically return during the surge, but you know how to ignore it and focus your attention somewhere else, correct?
Right, correct. And if it does come back, I become self-correcting. You know, if I find myself kind of losing my breath or where I'm at,
right.
I'll just sort of say, I'll realize that's happening, and I'll say, okay, just imagine her like she was, like she's going to look in 40 years. Then, bam, I'm back there.
Okay, now hold on a minute. The only reason you're able to do that is somewhere in your mind you have a belief that says, hey, if something's happening that's not useful for me, that's not a sign that I'm failing. It just means I need to make a correction.
Right, exactly.
Is that not correct?
It's efficient, productive behavior.
Okay.
The other things are useless. They don't help me.
Yeah, exactly. So one of your beliefs is, you know what? I only move my mind towards something that's useful. And
right.
if it's not useful, I can ignore it.
Right.
And
a woman's beauty is only something for me to gauge how I should be behaving to her and how she'll respond.
So exactly correct. And one of the things I also remember you saying, and again, when I read the game, I paid attention to not so much what moves you made, but how you thought. And one of the things I remember reading in the game, in addition to me sniffing Carmen Electra's ass, and for the record, let me just say, I was trying to sniff her crotch, and she turned around at the last moment.
God damn it.
It's true. I forgot more flack from that. I said, Neil's got to be a writer and write interesting shit. But one of the things you said in the game that I underlined like 10 times, literally in different colors, is at some point you learn to sit back and assess the situation. Right in the middle of the surge, like I think you said, correct me if I'm not right, you said you would go to the bathroom or something and take a minute to think.
Yeah.
And I believe your words are you would sit back and assess the situation. Is it on? If it's not on, can it be on shortly? Is this a way?
It's funny
in here.
It's funny because like this was like an emotional thing. It wasn't even an intellectual thing. I'd go to the bathroom. I just separate myself from the situation, like me sitting there trying to run the cube or whatever I'm doing over at a bar to this girl who I've maybe on this date with. I go into the bathroom. I just kind of sit there, relax, let the noise die down. Maybe that's what you talk about, quieting the internal chatter.
Exactly.
And then I just ask myself, is it on or is it not on? And I get like a gut response, oh, it's on, or not yet.
Now, just the fact that you're able to keep aware of what's going on without getting sucked into an internal loop, you're aware enough to go, okay, I need to back off and get into a state where I can think about this. And then you had the ability to get there. Then you had the ability to ask the right questions and to change your behavior on the spot if you needed to. All of that points to me to someone who has some really good beliefs about learning. So that was that second belief about learning. When I don't know what to do, my default response is to take the boldest possible step forward. The third one I would give you is very related to that, which is this. If I can't get my primary outcome, if I can't get the thing that I really want, I at least take those steps that will stretch me towards being the kind of man I want to become. So in other words, if it looks like you're not going to get your primary outcome, if it looks like you're not going to get laid, at least you're going to take a step that allows you to try out something new that you've always wanted to try. My default response, if it looks like things are not going to go the way I want them to go, I'm going to ask, okay, what's the most outrageous thing I would like to try here that I've never tried before? So at least I can get a sense that I've really stretched myself. And if guys can start thinking in that direction, Neil, what they'll be able to do will just take leaps.
Right.
Because let's face it, you and I are devoted not just to guys making a little improvement. If they make just a small little incremental improvement, then I think that you and I would consider that we've not really succeeded as teachers.
Yeah, exactly. I want climactic, revolutionary, self-satisfying change. You want to see that butterfly bust through.
I love that. Climatic. I'm going to steal that. What did you say? Climatic, revolutionary?
Revolutionary, climactic.
I love that.
Something change. Luckily, we're recording this, so we'll check it out.
But again, that has to do, again, you've got to have the beliefs that allow you to control your emotion, send your mind in the right direction, and pick up the information that you need to pick up. And instinctively, by the way, with greatest respect to Mystery, because I acknowledge him as a genius, I really do, I don't think he has instinctively those beliefs about learning. I think Mystery is someone who just was so motivated, he pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed.
You know what Mystery has? It's very interesting, and he's about to burst through my door any minute because he's staying in town.
Well, would you tell him I'd love to see him, and let's all see if we can't go grab a drink or something?
All right, yeah, let's do that. We'll tell him in person, hopefully, if he comes through during the call. But here's something he has that ties into some of the stuff that you're saying that's kind of interesting, and someone else pointed this out, is that he embraces positivity. He doesn't even pay attention to the negative things. The way, you know, someone gets one rejection, you're saying, and it ruins their game, or they get so close and they
right.
get stuck somewhere.
Right.
He just almost ignores negativity and just goes around embracing positivity. So eight people
and
call
I actually,
an asshole. Go
and
ahead.
You know what? And you know what, Neil? I actually think whether he realizes it or any of his students realize it, that's part of his attractiveness. Because a guy who doesn't let things get him down and keeps going like that is very attractive because most people, male and female, this is something I try to point out to my students. That shit-hot babe, that 10 that's got you shaking in your boots, I guarantee you there are areas in her life where she's frustrated, where she's stuck, and she's afraid to make any kind of change.
Right.
So when you walk through the world, and I think Mystery has, in addition to being a genius at what he's doing, Mystery has what I call acceptance confidence. This is something else I was going to get to later in the call, but since we brought it up, let me drive at this point. I think there are three kinds of confidence. There's performance confidence. And performance confidence is you've done something right 1,000 times. You've opened 10,000 sets. So 10,001 is just not going to scare you very much because you know what you're doing. That's performance confidence. Now, unfortunately, in the beginning, when you don't know what you're doing, there's no way you can have performance confidence. There's what I call rehearsal confidence, and I believe in it. It can be very powerful. Rehearsal confidence is when, you know, you go into a good altered state and you practice, you visualize very strongly what you're going to look like, what you're going to sound like. You rehearse moves in your head. I believe that can work. But for a lot of guys who are already too stuck in their head, it just becomes another way of not getting into the field. I've had to recognize that. So I'm not saying that performance confidence is useless. To the contrary, I teach it, I've honed it, I believe in it. But there's a lot of guys who are stuck in the game are the kind of guys who are in their head too much anyway. And if you give them something to rehearse too much, it's just going to be another way to get stuck in their head and not get their feet moving.
Exactly.
So there's a third kind of confidence that I think Mystery has. He's got performance confidence by now, for sure. But I think he has what I call acceptance confidence. And acceptance confidence simply sticks to the facts. It says, you know what? I want to go talk to that woman. I don't know what's going to happen when I go talk to her, and I'm going to go talk to her anyway. And there's no story behind it. It's not, you know, I don't know what's going to happen if I talk to her. I want to know what's going to happen. Sally Jean rejected me. She probably has a boyfriend, blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah.
And it's that some people go around, and this is approach anxiety, trying to avoid negativity. Other people go around trying to embrace positivity. And maybe
right.
acceptance confidence. Right.
Well, and what I'm trying to say is with acceptance confidence, you stick to the facts. You don't lie to yourself and say, yeah, I know I can talk to anyone. You go, there's a group of girls. I want to go talk to them. I don't know what they're going to do or what's going to happen, so let's go find out. There's no story. It's not, well, there's a group of girls. I want to talk to them. I don't know what's going to happen. They're probably bitches. They'll just reject me. Fuck it. I'll wait till it's easier. You know, let me go download another book. There's no story attached. You simply stick to the facts. I want to go talk to those girls. I don't know what's going to happen. I wish I could know what's going to happen. Now let's go talk to them. Boom. That simple acceptance confidence for a lot of guys is what they need. It can be combined with rehearsal confidence, but for a lot of guys, I've found that it just, you know, rehearsal confidence can stick them in their head even further.
Right.
So anyway, those are just two of like seven beliefs I teach. And I also teach how to take those beliefs and make them more than just a cognitive understanding. And let me draw on this point. In order to make change, you do have to understand. But understanding, while it's necessary, is not sufficient. To build a fire, you need heat. What else do you need? Heat. Help me out here. Heat.
Spark.
Heat, oxygen, and fuel.
So
each one of those things.
Go ahead.
Each one of those things is necessary, but by itself, it's not sufficient. So it's necessary to have understanding, but that by itself won't guarantee that the belief gets in there. So part of what I'm teaching, which I really honestly can't get through over the phone, but can teach, is how to take the beliefs and make them more than just intellectual understanding. We could go on and on beliefs, but that's just the second of the five components. So,
what are you going to leave the open loops, or are you going to tell them the other two, you dirty little rat?
Oh, there's five more. There's five more beliefs.
These are two of the seven beliefs.
Those are two of the seven.
Three.
There's five.
We hit three, right?
We hit, I actually believe we hit Do we go three? I think we hit three. Those are sufficient. If I spent the time to give you the other four, I'm not trying to open loop anybody. We would be on the call for the honestly. Well, it would be another hour on the call before I get to the other three elements you need to make this stuff work. So,
let's do part two sometime and get the rest.
Okay.
These are
we
great.
Will. We will. I'm not playing with
people. I really think that these are. What you're saying is really important stuff because I've been focusing too on how to learn. Because you know, when I first got in the game, there were guys who were there before me, and I just kind of raced ahead of them and passed where they were. And I saw they were still struggling with the same issues, and I thought that the components of how to learn is really important, as well as you know, it's less exciting than learning like the new, you know, the new opener or the new kiss close routine. But it's so fundamental that it'll allow you to make up all your own routines for everything.
I agree. I completely agree. There's three more pieces of this that make it work. So let's move on from the beliefs. And actually, the third piece would be how to take the beliefs and make them something that's not just an interesting idea. But that involves something, and again, it sounds like I'm playing with people. I'm not. That involves something that really I have to be able to show people visually how that works. So I'm working on editing that last day of my seminar, which you're at, into a product that will show people how to do this. But let me move on to some elements I can teach fully right now. One of the elements that you really have to get down is how to go into a state of mind. Let's say you're in this. Let me draw this distinction like this. If you want to look at something that you've done You have to be able to know what are the kind of things you need to look for to see where the correction is going to be. For example, if you're a mechanic, you have to know what could go wrong with a car so you can diagnose the problem, correct? You got me?
Yep.
Okay. So here are the different guys have to understand the different places where they can look to get an idea of what they could have done differently. So let me just give you some rough ideas of what those are. Fair enough?
Cool. Let's do
it. This is the next element of doing this. It's the troubleshooting part. When you're doing sarging, if you're doing your stuff, annihilation method, mystery method, whatever it is, here are the stages you need to look at to see where you could improve or where you might be going wrong. The first stage is what you do before you even go out. What are you doing during the preparation period? So it may be that you're doing something incorrectly, you're leaving something out or adding something in that shouldn't be there in your preparation period. Before you go out sarging, if you're smart, you'll do some kind of preparation, however brief. You'll do something to get your attitude in mind. Now, I don't know. You're at the point where you don't need to do it. And I don't know if you still do some kind of preparation.
Hey, Ross, you just went quiet for a second. You said, I'm at the point where...
I don't know whether you, at the point where you're at, Neil, actually have some pre-sarge preparation routine before you go out to sarge. Do you or not?
Only if I'm feeling like that maybe I've been writing or I haven't been social for a long time, my routine will just be out. Call someone or talk to someone just to put myself in a social
okay.
mood.
I think, well, good. So everyone, it could be that if you're stuck, it's in...
I used to have a list of the attitude and preparation I wanted. I had a list of sort of key points in my attitude I'd need to have in place.
Right. So you had a preparation phase. So it could be that if a guy is going wrong or not quite getting the results, there's something going on in the preparation phase. Either he's adding something that shouldn't be there, or he's leaving something out that needs to be put in, or he's doing too much of something, or he's doing something that's okay, but it needs to be increased. Okay, so the next step is you could look at the things that you do all the time. There are certain things in the Sarge that you should be doing all the time that if you're not doing, you're going to get in trouble. I would list those being in control of your state, calibrating. You always need to be calibrating to see where the woman or the set is at. So controlling your state, calibrating. I believe also you should always be in rapport. I know some people say break rapport, but in fact you're not really breaking it. You're just diminishing it or giving the illusion that it's being broken. So there's certain elements in a sarge that you should be doing all the time. And if you're in trouble and not doing quite well, it may be one of those things that need to be always there that needs to be adjusted. The third thing you can look at are things that you do sequentially, meaning there are things that you do in the sarge, but you only do them once and you only do them in a certain order. Just to be simple, this is common sense, this application, but when you do an opener, you don't continually do an opener throughout the sarge. You do your opener and you move on, right?
Right, exactly.
You said something very brilliant. You guest spoke at my event briefly, but it was very brilliant. You said, and I know you got this from, I think you got this from Mystery, that the first 10 seconds are just there to buy the next 30 seconds, which is there to buy the next, how did you put it? Do you remember, like your opener is not designed to.
Oh this is something I just figured out myself, which is that that you're just trying to buy time to express your personality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there are those things you do in a sarge. You do them sequentially. You only do them once, and you don't keep repeating them. So it could be that there's something in your sarging that has to do with the sequential elements. There's some part of the sequence that you need to adjust. Then here's the real tricky one that no one knows about, that no one teaches, and I'm going to reveal right now on this call. Just before I plug speedseduction.biz, that's speedseduction.biz. I have to do it. I'm a Jew like you. We Jews are taking over the biz. Here's the thing that almost everyone is missing. There are those things you do in a sarge that you do periodically, meaning you don't do them all the time. And you don't just do them in sequence. You do them, and then you continually return to them. They're, to use an egghead word, they're recursive. Recursive means they simply reoccur during certain periods of the activity. So an example would be you're driving, and occasionally you check your rearview mirror. You don't do it all the time, and you don't do it in a set sequence, and you don't just do it once. You keep returning to it. There are certain elements in a master sarger, in a master of the game, that he keeps returning to throughout the sarge. And knowing what those are, in my mind, is the single biggest key to making everything else you do really, really effective. You've got to know what are the skill sets, what are the ways of thinking, what are the ways of acting that you keep returning to throughout the Sarge, because those are the ones where the biggest leverage is, and those are also the ones where the biggest stuck points tend to accumulate. But because people haven't really discovered how to think about it in terms of where things occur through time, they're not aware of that.
So
and
by recursive elements, do you mean such as, you know, having the sort of playful personality that you kind of keep putting in to amp up things, or what do you mean by sort of
here's something you return to periodically. For example, when we do speech seduction, we learn what a woman's trance words are. Those are those words when we ask a certain loaded question, she answers, but she answers from a much deeper level of her mind. For example, if you say to a woman, I don't want to get too much into speech seduction field technology because that's not what this call is about. But, for example, very early on, once I do my opener and get some rapport with a group and establish I'm someone fascinating to talk to, I'll say, you know, would you really want to cut loose, when you really just want to indulge yourself and escape, what's something that you really love to do and something you've always wanted to try but you've never yet gotten around to it? Now, when they answer that question, typically there are one or two words they'll lean on. They'll go blah, 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 destiny, blah, 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 excitement, blah, 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 thrill. So I know those words, destiny, excitement, and thrill, are really strong anchors for them. So periodically throughout the Sarge, I'll repeat those words back. You understand what I'm saying? I won't do them all the time, but periodically during the Sarge, I'll say, you know, my friend was talking about how she met someone and felt a sense of destiny, and it really gave her a thrill to know that excitement, blah, blah, blah. So throughout the Sarge, I'll repeat the words. I'll maybe do it two or three times. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Another example would be what you guys, I don't know if you use this term, but the term push-pull.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Push-pull is not something you're going to do all the time. But it may be necessary to do it continually throughout the Sarge. For example, in your opener, I know one of the things you do is you sort of lean back at the same time that you're talking. You understand? So you're doing that message of, yes, here I am, but I'm not necessarily available, correct?
Yeah, I'm always push-pull. I think that builds attraction by two steps forward, one step backward all the time, and energy, energetically as well as verbally, as well as, you know, signals of your own intent.
Right. But, in fact, you're not always push-pulling. You do it frequently, but it's not there in every moment.
No, it's almost like a tire. If I feel like the air is falling out,
exactly.
I'm going to do that to puff a little more air in.
Exactly. So it's something you return to periodically. So you don't do it all the time.
Hey, Russ, your voice is fading again.
It's those elements that you return to periodically throughout the Sarge that have the most leverage. Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
Am I coming through? Yeah, those are the really crucial ones. In my case, I teach also, besides anchoring, I teach something called fractionation. And when you fractionate, you move back and forth between different vibes. Any one of the vibes is attractive. I teach this on my Gold Walk-Up DVD. For me, walk-ups are not just about what you say. It's about knowing what those four different vibes are. And every one of them is attractive, but knowing how to combine them and move between them. And so there are certain things we're going to do throughout our Sarge, no matter whose method we're practicing, that we return to periodically. And those are where the real stuck points and the real leverage points are, right there. So knowing what those are and knowing how to sort through those is a really good diagnostic. These diagnostic questions and tools are a big part of what I'm teaching. It's one of the five elements.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents StyleLife Academy.
Then there's those things, Neil, that you do at the end, the things you do to close the deal, you know, whether it's the evolution phase shift and knowing how to handle the things that come at the end. Mystery's got brilliant stuff about handling last-minute resistance and eliminating it. No, the things you do at the end are also could be something where you need work. And finally, they're the things you do after the Sarge. How do you go back when you're alone and review it? So one of the things I'm teaching guys are these different diagnostic categories to look at so they know where to look, and more importantly, they know when to look. At what period of time during the Sarge are they going to need the most correction? So that's one of the diagnostic categories. You know what? I feel I'm going on here. Do you want to open it to questions for like 15 minutes?
Sure. Let's see. It's Let's do that.
7:30. So let's take some questions.
Sarah, are you here?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Let me go ahead and put in question and answer.
And thank you again for the opportunity. I'm loving this. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. And Sarah, tell them what they should do to ask a question.
Of course. At this time, if you have a question, go ahead and press the number 1 on your touchtone phone. Please remember to press the number 1 only once, otherwise you'll be taken out of the question queue. Questions will be answered in the order that they are received. Give me 1 second to get the first person's name.
La, 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 la. Yeah, do tell Mr. I'd love to sit down and have coffee with him and you or whatever.
Great.
I think everybody in the call has a question.
Well, I knew they would. You know, Neil, maybe we'll do another call where it's just Q&A, but let's try and take a couple.
Okay, let's try and move, because you and I have so much to say. Let's try and move things quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the first question we have comes from Stan in L.A. Go ahead, Stan.
Go ahead, Stan.
The answer is yes. Okay, next.
They took themselves out. Okay, the next question we have comes from Hype. Go ahead, Hype.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
I wanted to ask you, how do you go about with threesomes?
Oh, you know what? Let's keep the questions on topic. Why don't we just have a whole conference about that in the future?
Okay, awesome.
Hey, let me ask you something before you go, though, since we're talking about learning. When's the last time you got laid? Hype?
Well, it was like 6 months ago.
All right, dude, there you go. So let's focus on what we need to focus on right now.
All right, bro. Thank you.
I hope you learned something right now.
By the way, Neil, before we go to the next question, this is something I find common with guys who are stuck, that their attention wanders to places and they're not able to put their attention on the right piece at the right time. And that ability to put your attention at the right piece at the right time is a crucial skill no matter who's, and again, I don't care whose style you're working, you know.
Right. That's exactly what I'm trying to doing with the Style Life Academy, which is there are a couple guys who are like, oh, this is too slow, or oh, I know this stuff, or oh, I just want to do certain assignments this way. But it's like you have to just take it piece by piece by piece.
Many of them are constitutionally not capable of doing that unless they do a meditation practice. It's another reason why I teach it, because when you do it, it calms that jumpiness of the mind down so the mind can actually stick with the thing it needs to stick with long enough to master it.
Exactly.
I think half the guys in this game have pretty bad ADD, and whether that ADD is a result of the mind constantly trying to come up with an answer to this awful question or it's sexual frustration, I don't know. But I'm telling you, the meditative component is key for someone like this guy who is just on the call.
Right, and I think if you were who I'm thinking you are, and I emailed you privately, right?
Yes.
So you and I are going to have our own talk on the next teleconference.
Awesome.
So we're going to get to that personally. And
awesome.
By the way, you guys who are here, here's what your teleconference are going to be. They're going to be a mix of bringing in Ross Jeffries and a lot of people who have a lot to offer who, you know, I learned from and who you read about in the game, and others. I'm going to try and take as many of you as possible, and we'll work with you on an extended way, one-on-one in the calls. And I have a certain way I'm selecting people, and I'm going to try to get to, as many people as I can this year. So, next question.
The next question we have comes from Adam. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Hi. I guess I'm calling from New York, Ross, and I'm definitely looking forward to your talk in August.
Okay. And what's your question? I appreciate that.
Yeah. My question, I guess, would have to do with what you were saying about, you know, if I'm not going to get my primary outcome, where's the furthest I can push this?
Right. What's the most outrageous choice you can make that will really stretch your personality into being the kind of man you have a vision for, the vision of who you see yourself becoming? What's the step you can take that would stretch you in that direction? Do you get that?
Yeah. I just, so basically what you're saying there then is, you know, sort of, where is the furthest you can keep going, yet at the same time sort of detach yourself from the outcome and sort of leave it at whatever?
Yeah, and if it looks like there's a certain situation where the Sarge is just going south, where what you've done hasn't worked and you're at a choice point, you can go for what you're used to doing, and you can go, you know what? What's the fucking boldest fucking thing within the bounds of the law that I could at least give it a shot? So at the very least, I can go home with a smile on my face tonight going, you know what? good for you, champ. You stretched yourself and broke out of your rut. Maybe she didn't get it, but at least you have the joy of knowing that you've broken through a boundary, that you can use it again another time. And one of the things that really broke me through many years ago is my ability to look at a situation that didn't go quite the way it did and extract out, and I mean it. There used to be a game called Operation where you would have to remove things in the little board game dummy. And so I kind of view it like that. If you can extract out the one or two elements that worked and go, wait a minute, I can envision using this element again and again. It's going to work with a different girl. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. So the ability to aim for the bold and extract what worked, to build an extractor in your mind that literally searches through all these categories I've been teaching tonight, pulls out what worked, and goes, okay, now what could I have added in? What could I have subtracted? What could I have increased that's already there? Increased either in terms of intensity or the amount of repetition. What could I have decreased? So you did something good, but, you know, you need to decrease the intensity or the amount of repetitions you did.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Rephrase that one more time.
Which part?
So would you say sort of do something crazy because you're going to do a couple things right?
I didn't say crazy. I said something bold or outrageous.
Bold because you're going to get a couple things right and you can learn from them.
Let me try and maybe put another way and make sure I understand. But my thought is when I'm in these situations, either A, say this is an opportunity to test something new and see how it works and learn something.
If
it's flowing or you're stuck or whatever it is, it's an opportunity to learn something instead of running away. And often, sometimes, like if it's just like really, really blown and there's just like nothing you can do, I'll actually take the opportunity to get feedback. I'll step back and I'll say, you know what, I'll tell you what, let me ask you something. I've been single. I broke up with a girlfriend. I got out of a serious relationship. Haven't been talking to girls for a while. So let me ask you, what actually made you uncomfortable when we talked? Was I standing too close? Was I talking about too much? You know, I'll actually try and get some feedback if none of the other bold moves will work.
And you know what? I'll tell you something. This plays into I wasn't going to bring this up. I wasn't going to bring this up because I wanted to save this. It's something I taught this week at my seminar. But I'll tell you something else, caller. I actually believe, and there's two kinds of charisma that attract women. There's the kind of charisma where you walk in and you light up the room, and eventually every eye in that place is on you, and you've got the whole room, you know, watching what you're doing. And my belief is you can teach a lot of people that, but some personalities just can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that charisma is really entertaining. Mystery's got it in tons. I've got it. Neil can have it. Some people, I think, just it's not a good direction to teach people to go. I have discovered there's another kind of charisma. I call it low-wattage charisma. There's the high-wattage charisma. Mystery's got that. Neil's got that. I've got that. But there's a low-wattage charisma, and here it is. The low-wattage charisma is comprised of two elements. The first element is if you can step into the unknown, if you can step into the unknown without having to know what's going to happen, if you can be totally comfortable stepping.
Ross, we can't hear
you. Yes. If you can step outside your comfort zone, if you give yourself permission to step outside your comfort zone without needing to know what's going to happen, and here's the second element, give the other person that you're going to be interacting with total permission, complete radical permission to have whatever first response they want to have. I mean, really mean it, that it's totally okay with you, whether they yell, whether they ignore you, whether they're totally into you. You give the other person radical permission to have whatever first response they're going to have. If you can combine those two things, then I am telling you, it opens up a gateway of rapport and communication that's fucking unstoppable. And I'll tell you why. That ability to step into the unknown and not really have to know, not have to have guarantees, is something very few people have. I can guarantee you that shit hot babe standing there, that 10, has so many areas in her life where she'd like to try something new, but she's too scared, and she won't give herself permission to fuck up. So when you can walk through the world carrying that, you're already more attractive. And when you can do it without needing the approval or the support of the person you're interacting with, when you truly give them absolute permission to have their first response, because you know they're human. They're going to have a response, a first response that may not be the real one. When you combine those two things, it really makes you attractive because you not only are stepping into the unknown, you're doing it where you say, and I don't need your approval to do it. When you can combine those two, it's like the first one gives you 100 points of attractiveness, and the second one gives you 100 points, and they multiply. There's something about those two things that multiply, so they don't add, they multiply. So you get 100 times 100. That's my math is awful for a Jew, Neil. I'm sorry. That's what, 10,000 points of attractiveness?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really low wattage. It's really low wattage. You're not getting the attention of everyone in the club or everyone around. It's super low wattage, but it's completely non-threatening, and it's completely undetectable. It's what I call stealth charisma. And that stealth charisma can be totally low wattage. You don't have to be the life of the party. You don't have to be a good storyteller. That doesn't hurt. You don't have to be super funny. That kind of combining those two factors fucking swings the door wide open.
And the fact is, you don't need everyone's attention. You only need one person's attention. And it's only certain people's attention that you need to get everyone's attention to get. Because the goal is never to get everyone's attention. It's just to get that one person's attention anyway.
That's true, too. I agree.
So what I'm saying is if you guys are low water charisma guys out there, it's a cool place to be. I've seen great guys who just operate on radar like that.
But those are the two elements. You have to have both to really make it work. One or the other is okay, but when you combine them, it's fucking dynamite. Can we take another question?
Yes, of course. The next question we have comes from Mr. Code. Go ahead, Mr. Code.
I'm curious, Ross, if the ideas you're presenting about learning can be applied to, like, sexual hang-ups. Like, if a guy is not very experienced, which is pretty much my situation, and you want to get over certain issues, like just, you know, being comfortable having sex with someone you just met, or you don't know that well, you don't have that much comfort.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Abso-fucking-lutely, and I'll tell you exactly how. And stick with me here because it's going to sound a little odd, but I'm going to ask you a question and really think about the question I'm asking you, okay?
Okay.
How do you know that you're uncomfortable with sex? And I'm not saying why, but how do you know it? What do you tell yourself in your head, and what do you visualize in your head that lets you know that you're uncomfortable with sex?
Well, I feel like that I'm definitely way too much in my head. Like, when, I mean, I'm literally, like, almost having commentary to myself while I'm having sex. I mean, I should
exactly.
be enjoying the experience.
Exactly. And what I'm here to tell you is that constant commentary is taking place not just during sex, but in a broad context of your life. So rather than looking at adjusting it in the context of sex first, learn to adjust it in other areas. Learn how to quiet down that commentary and experience life more and observe it less. And if you start in the area that's the most challenging, sex, it's going to be a difficult place to start. So I would turn it around and say, you know what? It sounds to me like this is a systemic, system-wide problem in your operating system. So rather than trying to correct it in the most problematic application program, why don't you pick some other areas where you're doing it and get a simple meditation practice and learn to see there's two wrong ways to handle it. One is to buy into it, to totally buy into the self-talk and buy into the imagery and buy into the emotion and keep repeating it. I have a question for you, and I know what the answer is before you answer, but I'm going to ask it. How many times would you say you've had this dialogue with yourself about being uncomfortable about sex? If you've thought about it maybe once or twice, how many repetitions have you run this through?
Oh, I probably finished every sexual experience I've ever had.
Like, and I'm willing to bet in between those experiences you thought about it a lot too, did you not?
Oh yeah, sure. Definitely.
Okay, like how many times a day? Just take ballpark it.
Oh. Yeah, probably, you know, if that's on my mind, if I'm thinking about women,
right.
and sex, a couple times a day at least, I'm sure.
I'm going to tell you it's a lot more than that. So you put this through a hell of a lot of repetitions. Here's the irony. By putting it through the repetitions, you're ironically rehearsing those feelings and that behavior again. So you go into the situation that it's going to pop up again because that's what you've been rehearsing. So the first thing is you've got to stop the rumination process. Stop rehearsing it. The problem is, as long as that emotion is there, it's going to drive the thinking. So one of the other five elements I've come up with, and this is going to sound really gay, I'm sorry, but it's going to sound gay. I've come up with a way of transmuting all that negative emotion that's sitting there, all that anxiety, all that worry. I've come up with a way not to heal it, but to transmute it. So let me ask you a question. If you could take all that anxiety you have around sex, all that pooled anxiety, and you could just convert it to purified, raw, refined energy that you could then redirect to any kind of change in your life, that'd be a lot of energy at your disposal, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm here to tell you all that anxiety and negative feeling, it's actually a resource. Rather than getting rid of it and healing it or trying to clear it, I used to do that with guys. Now I go, fuck it, why throw that resource out the window? Instead of thinking of healing or clearing it or getting rid of it, think of the metaphor of water reclamation, sewage treatment, or purifying or refining it. If you could strip out all the negative elements to that emotion, it would be raw energy, a tremendous resource. If all that anxiety, all that fear, all that whatever, suddenly was converted to just pure, raw wattage, raw power, you could drive a fucking lot of stuff, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the element transmutation. That's one of the other remaining five elements. Now that...
I'm going to throw in something here, just a way to add to that and reframe it, because I'm sitting here with mystery and we're listening to this as well, and you probably said it best, that uncomfortableness he's feeling.
Right.
Right.
The way I see it is this discomfort. By the way, hey, Ross, how you doing?
Hey.
I'm in L.A.
I'd love to see you, man. We have things to talk about. We've gone through some similar things, dude. I'd love to talk to you.
Sure, I agree. I would love to. All right, well, these are my thoughts with this discomfort thing. The women that you meet will have this discomfort as well. The discomfort isn't in having sex. It seems to me, at least it is for me and for some of the women that I've enjoyed in my life. The fear is of first time sex. You know, not necessarily one time, but once you have two, three, four, five, a dozen times with the girl, the fear of foreign territories, the fear of being rejected by a woman that you actually, you know, something for, a woman who has some sort of legitimate value for you, once that goes away, you're no longer worried so much. It's like you are having sex with your best friend. So what I'd like to
do... Your best female friend.
My best female friend, exactly. What I'd like to do, barrel through the uncomfortable feeling at first, because, you know, you're supposed to be uncomfortable. You haven't had sex with this girl before.
Right.
Now, could you imagine having sex with a girl who is your best friend, whereby anything you do will be accepted by her? Because, you know, if you're learning something new, sexually speaking, and it's something that she has an expertise in, in other words, she has more experience than you, she may be able to hold your hand through at least some of it, make it less of a scary experience.
Right.
And ultimately, you want to get to a place in your sexual relationship whereby you can, you're both basically caught up to speed with however kinky the two of you want to get, and then the two of you...
I love it.
...on, explore new things. I enjoy the excitement. To me, it's not a sense of fear. I wouldn't even call it discomfort. Life is pretty uncomfortable if you want to look at it in that way. I'd like to just reframe it in my own head personally as an exciting experience that I hope she will help me through.
Isn't that funny? Because we were just having a discussion on this call. One more thing.
Yeah.
We were just having a discussion on this call of you embrace positivity versus avoiding negativity, and that was just a perfect example of that.
And so, actually, Mystery, we were actually saying, and I was saying that I think part of your charm is something that you may yourself not explicitly realize, which is your attitude towards life is so positive, you're so just, if something negative happens, you're so able to defocus away from it. And what I was trying to say is so few people have that. I think most women don't have it, and they would like to have it, so they're drawn to it. But one of the things I'll say to the caller is another way to put what Mystery said, and I agree with him, is...
And we should move on to that shortly, because this guy's just getting spoiled.
stuff happens.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to make one more point for him. And by the way, Neil, wouldn't that be fucking great if you, me, and Mystery could be on a call or do some fucking teaching together? I think that would rip the seduction world apart. But anyway.
Year-long teleconference, because Everett would have so many questions, and we'd all talk for like 3 hours on each question.
Well, that's okay. We'd have people ready to gag us when if we were talking on a turn. One more quick thing. Oftentimes what guys think is fear is not fear, it's just raw excitement, and they don't know how to interpret it in a way where it moves them forward. I'm willing to bet that for most guys what they think is anxiety, it's just all that sexual energy coming to the surface, and it's so powerful they don't know what to do with it. So one thing you can simply do is ground it through your feet. It's actually a good technique for lasting longer too. There are acupressure points on the balls of your feet, so if you can remain standing when you're first having sex with a woman, do it with a position where you're standing up. If you grind the balls of your feet, it takes that overcharge of sexual energy and grounds it out so you can perform better. Mm-hmm. Let's take one more question, then I got to get cracking here.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, the next
he was lucky.
Yeah, well, yeah. Everybody on this call seems pretty lucky right now.
I like her. She's good. You're a good sergeant.
The next question we have comes from Wild Child.
Ross, you don't have a half of it. Sarah's got game.
She does.
Okay, guys, Wild Child from Australia. Good to speak to you. Got a question for you, Ross. In regards to the five skills today, you've covered two. One, quiet in your mind, practice that habitually. Second one was have a powerful belief system about learning. What are the subheadings of 3, 4, and 5?
Three would be learning, again, these diagnostic categories, so you know where and when to look at the Sarge and then at what level. Are you going to look at your attitude? Are you going to look at a piece of behavior? Are you going to look at beliefs that need to be readjusted? So the third part is knowing the diagnostic categories. The fourth part is this bit about transmuting emotion, knowing how to take all that buildup. And it's not just about what you feel in the moment with a woman, but all the stuff you've got stored up from years of frustration. That's the fourth part. And the fifth part is a technique I call the extractor. It's a way of going into a specific kind of trance where first and foremost you can isolate out what worked on every level. Then you can look at what didn't work through those filters of those beliefs I teach, so you can see it without gluing back to it. This is a key skill. Can you see what you did incorrectly without buying back into the story that says it's got to be that way? It's a really key skill. So rather than ignoring your mistakes, can you look at your mistake without rehearsing it again? That's the key part of that skill. And then finally, there's the skill of rehearsing the new way of behaving and actually then going out in the fucking field. And again, I want to congratulate Mr. on this, because time and again, he's pointed out to people, you can't just do this in your head. And I've been trying to say that too, you know. You've got to go out in the fucking field and do this. So those are the five elements. Again, there's learning to quiet the noise in your mind.
Yep.
There's taking on these beliefs for learning. There's knowing what diagnostic categories to look at. There's knowing how to transmute the limiting emotion. And finally, there's knowing how to extract out the learning, see what you did right, see what you did wrong without buying back into it and rehearsing it, and then rehearsing the right behavior. Those all go into part five.
Cool. One more thing I just want to say.
Yes.
Stop apologizing about energy and meditation, because it's the fucking real deal, man.
It is the fucking real deal, but you know, it's not apologizing as much as it's pacing the reality of many people on the call. I know many people have not yet gotten to the point where they can see, hey, wait a minute, this shit really works. So,
well, if I can say something to my fellow SLA 505 flight people, if you're a newbie, we're all here to develop ourselves, and if you want to get to the top eventually and you want a personal development yourself, eventually you're going to come past the spirituality and a meditation path, so look out for it if it comes your way.
And the next question we have comes from Michael in New York City. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I've been going to the juggler forums and posting field reports, and they have a lot of stressing on not focusing too much on the method and being too analytical. So learning how to learn is really clearly an important part of all this, and I'm just wondering what you guys think about that, that idea of not focusing too much on the method.
I would say this. I wouldn't focus too much on the method or being too analytical when you're in the field. But there comes
right,
a time when analysis, when it's done properly from the right frame of mind, with the right beliefs, with the right things to look for, and a good way of learning from extracting out information only is critical. Just don't do it when you're in the field because it'll paralyze your feet. In fact, analysis in the field is just more noise. And remember what I said at the beginning of the call about what noise does. It just fucks you up every which way but loose.
Right. I agree with everything Roth just said. And to further press the point and what you may be asking, don't even focus on whose method, which people tend to do in this world, is focus on what works for you.
And again, like I said, caller, no matter whose method you're using in the field, whether it's mysteries or mine or styles or juggler or anything, the same technical issue of learning how to learn it is going to be there. And what I'm really proud of is this module I've come up with slides in beautifully into anyone's field system. Anyone's field system, you can use this module I'm teaching to improve anyone's field system because it's teaching you how to learn it, regardless of what the content of the learning is. That's why I'm excited about it.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Cool. I'm gonna have to hop off in 2 minutes. But if
so
you want to,
I think, you know, because I got things I got to do. But let me just say one last thing. I do have this recording of the hour-long session I did with the guy that turned him from being, you know, a depressed let's just be friends victim to 24 hours later. He was banging a very hot stripper that he happened to meet at his condo complex by the pool. I will put that up on my website in the next week, and I'll email you guys a link. What I would suggest people do, go to my website. It's speedseduction.biz. You'll see a very fucking annoying goddamn pop-up window. Put in your email address. We'll start sending you my daily seduction tips newsletter. And within the next 5 days, I'll have that file up, and I'll email you guys and let you know where you can go. And let me just say again, you've made a brilliant move, you guys. Neil has got something that's going to blow the whole seduction world. Blow. I said blow. That's going to rip the whole seduction world wide open. You've got a perfect model there, Neil, for teaching people. And you guys have made a really, really smart decision to be learning with this guy. And I look forward, Neil, to working with you more and maybe guest speaking at your seminars. And I think you've got a brilliant, brilliant way of teaching people. And I congratulate you and everyone who's been fucking smart enough to take the opportunity to be part of the Academy.
StyleLife.com presents StyleLife Academy.